time for Sports Lit 101 with Bruce Pratt. Where are we going this week, Bruce?
Well, we're going, I guess I should explain how we got to there before I can exactly say how we're going, but I was talking with my colleague and good friend and friend of the show, Henry Garfield, who I know as Hank, about books and sports literature, because he teaches sports literature at the University of Maine when the dean allows it, as it should happen more often. And he teaches the baseball lit and the general sports lit books. And we were talking about, just briefly, about how people become interested in sport literature. Then I went to my first day of class, and I was asking the students in my hockey lit class, and they're about 30 kids, and they're from different walks of life, and some are athletes, some are not athletes. And they all talked about how much they liked reading sport literature. And I thought, well, what is it? When do you start reading sport literature? What are the books that when you were young made you want to read more? And what were the kinds of books you read? Well, obviously, when I was in elementary school, there were all these series of biographies of athletes you could take out of the library, the Lou Gehrig story and the Babe Ruth story and the Ty Cobb story. And probably half of what was in there was made up and not even remotely accurate, right? But it made you have a vision of someone. They would recreate in those books conversations between these athletes and their parents that, you know, I don't have any idea if Joe Louis ever said to his mother, "I will get this for all of us." I mean, you know, whatever those kinds of things were. But it made me interested in why so many of the students I have in this class said, yeah, I like to read books about sports. A lot of them like to read nonfiction books, biographies and memoir and the like. But what I thought about was I had read a book when I was young, and I have it at home. I have not been able to dig it out of where it is. I have too many thousands of books in my house. But it's called The 23rd Street Crusaders, and it was about a bunch of young kids, all on probation, tough, inner-city kids, and they meet a stranger of sorts, and they get into basketball, and their life changes. And I remember when I was reading that book thinking not so much about what a great story it was, but thinking, you know, I might like to write about sports. And I started reading people like Roger Kahn, Roger Angel, W.C. Hintz, and all these various sports writers. And it occurred to me that as the national identity changes, so does sports literature in a way I hadn't really thought of. Now, the book that I'm working on in class at the moment is called Boy on Defense. It was written by Scott Young, Neil Young's dad, a famous hockey writer and Canadian writer. And it's a young adult book, and everybody says, why would you possibly be teaching this young adult book in a college class? Well, because the story, which is at best completely unbelievable, is about a young boy named Bill Spunska. I guess we know where the Spunska comes from. Who, during World War II, was visiting England with his mother when Germany invaded Poland, his home country, and he didn't see his dad for 8 years, who was a professor of languages at Warsaw. They eventually reunite, they get resettled in Canada, and resettled Canadians had to work at a job that Canada gave him. His was cutting timber for a year. Then he finally was able to get a job doing what he did, but they were in very strange circumstances. But Bill becomes a star hockey player, because Bill is the most dedicated hockey player ever. There is nobody with more dedication than Bill Spunska. And what it is it's a coming-of-age story. It's a young adult story. What I like about it, it's what I call a concrete story, what some people call mundane prose. There's no level of fantasy in here. There's no magic realism. There's no genie or angel learning. This is about people living in Winnipeg, making a new life for themselves, and the son deciding, who was a good athlete, he wants to be Canadian. And I was thinking, the minute I thought about that, I thought about our conversation with Carl Subban, and when he talked about how he knew Malcolm and PK had become true Canadians is when hockey was an incredible part of their life. It couldn't be all of their life, and Bill Spunska is a very good student, of course. He works hard in school and has an after-school job. Well, Scott Young wrote a series of these books. The next one is called Boy in Leafs Camp. Bill Spunska gets a tryout with the Leafs, and they say, you're good, but you should go to college first. So they send him to the University of British Columbia. It's not how it worked in hockey then. It's not how it works in hockey so much now, though a little bit more with the NCAA being what it is. But these books became the books that all modern novels about hockey have to address. All the ones in Canada have to address this. Is this still our Canadian identity? And it really popped into my mind to throw the next thing I'm going to throw out to people. When I was looking at some of the baseball players in the class, and I was thinking how when we were young, that was the game. Baseball was the biggest game. Horse racing and boxing weren't far behind. But I can tell you, when I was born in 1951, professional basketball and professional football were afterthoughts by comparison to the best college football and the best college basketball. So I would like listeners to send me an email, which you can do through the University of Maine English Department, and tell me what was the sports book that you read when you were young that really informed you in some way. And I'm going to make a list of them, and then I'll try and get a bunch of them, and we'll look at those, and we'll discuss a little bit about how, when we're young, things that happen to us or things we read help us think of who we are. Because I think very much of myself as a person from the north, because I ski, I play hockey, I snowshoe, and all my southern friends were always in awe of the fact that I was different. You ski down a mountain? Yeah, I do. Wow. You play hockey outdoors, isn't it cold? You know, and they would talk about the hours that they would spend playing hoops outside 95-degree weather. And I was like, sitting in the shade having a Coca-Cola here, you know. So I'd like people to do that. We'll give them a couple of weeks and we'll mention it.
Just fiction or anything?
No. Any sports book you read when you were young that really affected you and helps you think of who you are and how it affected who you are. I mean, most of us don't read a book about boxing and become a heavyweight fighter. You know, as I said to my class, yeah, I always figured it was like Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Bobby Mercer, and then me. Except I couldn't hit a pitch baseball in Babe Ruth, so how the hell was I going to play for the Yankees? But so much of the way we think of ourselves and we think of life, we think very often in terms of sports and what got you there. Not a coach, not the team you were on, but what book did you read when you were a kid, or what magazine? Maybe it was Sports Illustrated. Maybe it was the Sporting News. But we'll try and compile these over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll pick out a bunch of them that I don't know, and we'll give them a try.
Matt, I can think of two right off the bat that were a huge influence on me as a fairly young guy, I mean, not even 10 years old yet. Ted Williams, My Turn at Bat.
My Turn at Bat, yeah.
And Lawrence Ritter, The Glory of Their Times.
The Glory of Their Times, yes. That's a great example. I don't know why that didn't come to my mind. I own that book. That's a great book. Yeah, and you know, We live in an age where it's not like you grow up in Massachusetts, you're a Red Sox fan, you know the team for your whole life. You know the key players, they don't go away. We live in a new age where everybody's going in every different direction. There are 30 hockey teams, not six. There are 32 baseball teams, not 12 or whatever we had before. So I think this generation, the books are going to be real different than the books that maybe we read or people younger than us read. So I think it'd be fascinating. And people can contact me if you want to send me an email with your suggestion and anything, say something about what the book meant to you. I'd love to get them.
What was yours, Carrie? Was it this one I'm seeing on the screen?
Yeah, mine was a piece of nonfiction collection of essentially essays called Strange But True Baseball Stories.
Yep, Strange But True Baseball. We have that. Hank and I have that in the office.
Yeah, I remember reading that. I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old the first time I read it. And I kept it all the way through high school. I mean, pages were falling out of it. I read it so many times.
I also remember reading what was I, 10, perhaps 11, Instant Replay, Jerry Kramer.
Jerry Kramer, Instant Replay, yeah. And, what was the other one? There was another one about the Packers that I remember reading when I was young. The Vince Lombardi story. I don't think it was that. Something.
And I can't remember who wrote them. I was trying to see if I could find them online. I haven't yet, but there were a series of these, just very thin little paperbacks. And again, they were designed to make the athletes into heroes. But there were a bunch of them about athletes of the 50s and 60s that I remember reading.
I think the author was Ernie Gallo, but I'm not sure. There's a current guy named Gallo who writes young sporting books. And I don't know whether he's related or not. But I'm going to find that out because, I was thinking about those. They were paperback. They had an orange cover on the back of them where they had the back blurbs were in black ink. And we had them when I was in junior high school. We had them in the library. And I can't remember. I was thinking about, if I had thought of this, if I'd had this brainstormed 2 days earlier, I would have been better organized with it. But it just occurred to me that people should do that. If you can find Boy on Defense, the original version, not that it's been rewritten by Scott Young, I'm guessing it's probably 1953. And read it. You don't have to be a hockey fan, but you'll understand the way it works.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.